66. And what I'm going to show tonight are some pictures that a number of the miners' families gave to me. I'm kind of on a quest here to put together a photo collection primarily of Winston and the other houses that were taken down and dismantled after the mine was closed. A lot of us haven't seen what those houses look like since then, and I know a number of people who come up here with the church activities have very little idea of what the houses look like and what their insides were. So I hope to show that along with the people. There's a lot of people who were up here during the mine days, and why don't we all put up our hands who were up here during the mine days, so that folks who are here for the church know who we are, and we can talk with them later. I hope to make this a discussion. If anybody has any comments to make, I am not the historian for Holden. I'm going to try to do my best. But as being as young as I was, you know, there's a lot of information that I don't have. So hopefully there are some people here who can fill in a lot of my gaps, hopefully. The slideshow is basically in three parts. I'm going to show the a number of pictures of the houses in Huntington Heights, Winston, and even the circle staff housing as it appeared back then. Then I'm going to retrace and show the lineage of my family, which I think is kind of interesting in the different places that we lived in, starting up in the ballpark, if you will. So that's kind of an interesting history in itself. And then the third part will be activities, pictures of Boy Scouts, campfire, the operettas that we performed over here in the recreation hall, our Christmas programs we had in the recreation hall, and graduation. And there's a few people like my brother and Mary Joy who are going to help me identify various people.
Oh, sure.
That's part of the program here because this, because I've just pulled this on them just now, of course.
Got them in the corner.
I got them in the corner. So they put me on the spot, and I get to put them on the spot, right? Okay, we'll start with the first one. And we're going to start with Huntington Heights.
Do we need to turn some lights off?
We need to be able to read, so I have to have some light.
I think the projector needs to be turned.
Slide projector needs to be turned.
Thank you.
There, give me the flashlight.
Tom, yeah. Can you open that door?
Yes. I think a lot of people have probably seen this picture. It is up in the museum. This is Honeymoon Heights as it appeared when they were private residences. The first offices for the mine were up in Honeymoon Heights, and many of those buildings were dismantled or taken apart and then used to make houses for I think it was up to, at one time, 17 houses up in Honeymoon Heights. This is John Bly and Mrs. Bly in front of their house at Honeymoon Heights. Right? This picture is also up in the museum. And a lot of us, of course, remember the Blys. But he's in his full regalia when he used to work underground. And in fact, most of the people up here, one way or another, did start working in the underground. This is Mr. Eddie Haddon. He worked in the office. And this is at Honeymoon Heights. And this is one of the pictures that shows you what the offices looked like at Honeymoon Heights before they were moved down to the where the main portal stands as you see it today. But the there was the engineering offices, the business office, manager's office were in one building, blacksmith shop, tool shop, machinery shop, electrical shop, welding shop. They were all up on the main 1500 portal. And this is Winston. Mm-hmm. When it, see Patty, this was in the early 40s?
Yeah, I think so.
So this is how Winston looked. There were basically three rows of houses.
It was about 43 or 44. Uh-huh.
And the roads are up there today, of course. The
Five rows of houses.
Five rows?
Three rows.
Three rows.
Yeah.
Five rows. The bottom row had only one row of houses, and then the other two rows, roads had two rows each.
Hey, Bill, are we looking south here?
We're looking from the south side to the north side. And up here was our ski area in this corner. And one year there was actually a lift up there before I was even starting skiing, and then when I was a teenager we had a portable ski lift up in that area. This is the Bernie Trainer's home.
Come here.
And Bernie Trainer and Mary and Teresa. And I don't remember the year. Is Mary here?
No, she's not here.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Bernie and Mary and Teresa.
And this is the Bowie's house.
Bowie's house.
And that's Forrest Bowie. He built the house with his sons. And Mrs. Bowie, who taught grades 1 through 4 until 1945.
Alice J.
And Alice. She and her husband, Cork, lived down in Manson. And this is George and Lee Lev. This was up in the middle row. This is on the right side of Mrs. Field's house.
Is this in Winston?
This is in Winston, yeah. You'll find that a lot of the pictures in winter, what I discovered is that most people took most of their pictures in the wintertime because of all the snow. So that's... But oftentimes you see, down at the bottom here, you see the snow and you shovel out the sidewalk and then you walk up to the road over the snow. But you can see the power lines coming in. The electrical power is brought in from Chelan Falls all the way up the lake and up the valley, so, across by Dumkey Lake and Dumkey Mountain, and then up the valley. We had standby power generation up here also, because we had to run the electrical and safety equipment down in the mine. This is the backside of the Lev's home. Most people used wood furnaces for heating in the wintertime. So we had to, most people had to go down and buck their own wood for the winter. I think, Mrs. Field, that had to be your house right there, isn't it? Be on our right. I think that would be the back side of yours. This is Al Holzhauser and Hub Paulson eating breakfast in the Lev breakfast nook. So that's kind of an idea what the inside looked like. And I think that was the Lev house backside in the wintertime with Bonanza in the background.
That's Nyla Sims.
That's Nyla. This is down on the bottom road. How many houses in? Were you next to the folks?
Right next to Annie Folk.
Okay, that'd be the second house in. If you're walking up the road, main road to where the car bridge is, you can, and on the right at the corner, you'll still see vestiges of a rock wall. And that was George and Andy Folk, as we called them, and Tootie and Pat Sims and their family, and Nyla lived in the second house in from that one.
Bill, if you walk up that little road, where the septic system is, there's pieces of the Sims' rock wall laying there. And you can find a piece with Cal, their dog's footprints in it. It's still up there. We found it up there last time. So there's chunks laying there, so there's some pieces up there with these footprints in it.
Tootie, you got a story on the fireplace.
Yeah, John Curzon and Dad did a lot of fishing at Donkey Lake. And Mom just hated the smell in the house. So Dad built this outside fireplace. That's Nyla standing there.
That's your mother in the kitchen. This was Christmas breakfast.
By schools, little tiny kitchens. Remember how little they were?
Yeah.
Oh,
can he eat it?
And the living room, dining room portion with Pat and Bob, Tootie and Nyla.
Christmas.
That was Christmas. There's Nyla again.
There's a sled.
A sled. See, Bob still has the sled?
Still have it.
Look at the radio. An old Bilko radio.
Oh, radio. You know. One of the people had houses with a fireplace on the other side. We had a few houses with a piano.
This is the Holzhauser house. And Mary Joy, you want to have anything special you want to say on it?
Well, I had a hard time finding one without snow. My dad had bought it. It was like a prefab house. He bought it, had it shipped up on barge, and put it together. Yeah, from Young Lumber Company. And we added on after that.
There was
my dad, but Al was the postmaster here for many years.
And that's the back of it, and that's the addition we added to that porch. And we dug a basement part of it, too.
This was up on the middle row, and if you stay on the hill and make a right, there's a kind of a cul-de-sac up on the middle row, and that's where this house was.
I think that's where cul-de-sacs originated.
Is that where God's name?
The outside world.
I don't think I knew that name yet, though, did we? There's the front of your house.
That's me.
That's you. And you were how old? Three? And it's her brother and dad shoveling the snow off the roof.
Yeah.
Gotta have a snow picker. But one of the things we always had to do up here because of the real deep snowfall, and it got pretty wet sometimes when a Chinook, as we called them back then, not El Ninos. We didn't know anything about El Ninos. But we always had to shovel off the roofs of the house during the wintertime to keep the snow load off.
And if you shoveled enough, eventually you were shoveling up.
Oh,
there's my mom in her big kitchen.
Yeah, right.
They took that metal sink, it was all one piece, big metal with the sides, and they took that to their home in Linwood, used it in the basement.
And this is the Plimpton house, and Gil and Elva Reem Plimpton are back here, and maybe you have some comments about your house.
Gil, it was like a tiny doll house. Very, very small. When we moved in, the furniture was there, and there was a bed, a double bed, and a chest. And if you took the chest off, the bed went like that.
So mean in that picture,
Bill. Yeah, that's Elverine at the front door.
This was up at
the And that was the baby carrier mounted on a sled. That was Pam. I was trying to find Pam in there, but I guess she's not there.
Yeah, there's a baby in there.
There she is there.
That's your kitchen.
It must be in the kitchen. Another one of those large kitchens. We were kind of hoping Pam would be up here so I could embarrass her. And that's Pam again years later in the same bathtub. If she were here today, she'd probably go still find it. She'd get another picture 20 years later. Yeah. And here's the Clifton family in chalet number 11 in that living room.
Harry Rigger took that picture too.
Harry Winters.
They trusted me babysitting one of those two darling girls.
Be quiet. And that's the circle, upper part of the circle, as it looked back in the mid-40s, which is pretty much the same as it is today. It's number 11. There's a snow load on it. You can see all the icicles. That was number 12. The road was always kept, all the main roads were all kept plowed out. It had, what was it, John D6 caterpillars? With their...
They always did this with a cat.
But these are all done with cats.
All done with
cats. Only the main road would be done with the snowblower. But they didn't dare go around the... where the homes were with a snowblower, because it might pick up rocks and break windows, and it was too dangerous. But this was one of our favorite sliding hills, as we told our school kids this morning. That's the same one during the summertime. Different flowers around. This is in number 6. The Haddons were in at the time. It's Irene Haddon's mother on the left, Eddie Haddon, Irene.
Marge
and Patty?
Marge and Ansel Snodgrass.
Ansel Snodgrass is what, yeah. In fact, I lived in number 10, the very top of it, and we were looking at it today, and the bottom floor in number 10 is exactly the way we lived in all the cellotechs, on the walls and the ceilings. That's all original. And the back room that we were looking at, the wood paneling in the back room, the laundry room, that's all original. Nothing has changed. And someone was asking us about the cabinets in the kitchen in number 10, and those are all original, the drain boards and everything. It's amazing that's lasted this long. People have taken a great, wonderful care of everything.
Yeah. Is the refrigerator in Shillite 10 original too?
No. Well, we were discussing that. It's certainly that vintage, but I'm not sure if that was the original.
The color of the oven tells me it's a little later, though.
The oven is
This was a party at the Haddon's. I don't recognize all the people. Some obviously do, Patty.
Your dad, well, in the back row.
This is my dad here, and...
Now
we're stuck. Who's this?
Johnny
Acres. Johnny Acres?
Uh-huh.
And guy with a pipe?
This is a test.
I don't know. Frank Grogan. And who is this lady? Who is this lady? Anybody remember?
I don't know. No,
and that's Marge Grogan.
Yeah.
And I think that's Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
That sound right?
Yeah.
Eddie Haddon.
That's
my mother.
Mom.
Yeah.
And Irene.
That's Irene. That's me.
That's you. Who's this?
I don't know.
I recognize the face, but I... And here?
That's Marge.
That's Marge.
Marge.
I don't know.
Marge's friend.
Friend. Marge's friend. And there's somebody right here in the dark, and I can't make out at all who that is.
Yeah, it's a woman.
Which home is this?
This was number 6, isn't
number
it?
Number 6, yeah.
Yeah.
Number 6.
But that's in the living room, isn't it, Patty?
Yes. My folks had an eggnog party every open house every New Year's Day. And that's when that was taken. And that's probably taken in maybe 52, 53.
52. Oh, you bet. Very
heavy. The next group of pictures were some that Harriet Wilbur gave me. And I guess she's coming up tomorrow.
Yes, she's coming tomorrow.
Okay. It's too bad she's not here, but this is the house they lived in, which would be number 13, which would be 14. Next to,
not screwed up. It's the nurses' station.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Then the next door to what we had is the hospital back there. This was a birthday party in the living room, and let's see, we've got Mike Mitchell and Joan Bly, Don Wilbur, Craig Wilbur, Nancy Price, and Linda Bly in that picture.
Those are our names.
Yeah.
David Meckins' father was the doctor here at the time. Lee Newman, Chris Mitchell, Mike Mitchell, Frank Sunday, Lee Graber, and Craig and Jerry Wilbur on the right end. And that was inside number 14. And I think this was taken from number 14 porch, if I'm not mistaken. And here we have Betsy, Mike Brogan, Doug Robertson, and there's somebody next to Doug. We don't know who that is. And Alan Anderson. And in the middle row is Dick Anderson, Craig Wilbur, Susan Brogan, Martha Newman, Cheryl Defoe. And in front is Lee Graber, Eddie Anderson, Dennis Defoe, Don Wilbur, David Mickens, and Jerry Wilbur in front.
Three girls and all boys.
Yeah. Here we have Deborah Mickens, Dennis Defoe, Jerry Wilbur, Beverly Scott, Pat Scott, and on the right end is little itty Brinker. Okay. What I'm going to cover next is the sequence of housing that my family was in. And when my folks came up here, there was not sufficient housing. In fact, that was true for a lot of people. And the first place that my folks lived in was a tent up in what is now the ballpark. I think was out in center field or just beyond center field. I don't know, Frank, can you remember exactly where the tent camp site was?
No, I don't.
But my understanding was back up there on the back side of the ballpark. And this is what it looked like. That's my mother in front.
This was their honeymoon. Mom and Dad got married directly out of college and came immediately to here, and that was Mom's first honeymoon home.
What year?
37.
37. This was July of 37. And the water supply was a little pipe with a bucket on the end of it. And that picture is up in the museum. This is the inside of the tent. It has a partial kitchen and dressing room. And I guess that's the dinette and the bed on the right. Now the interesting thing in the next three pictures, they're gonna look the same. And what they did is they boarded this up to make a more beautiful cabin. On the same floor plan. And it has windows, which the other one didn't, unless you rolled up the canvas. This picture is the same as the previous one you saw. Everything's arranged identically. And there's the only addition here was the cat. And then after that, because this was not really suitable for the heavy winter at that time, then they moved down to Lucerne. And at that time, Lucerne also had housing for the miners up here because it wasn't enough housing here. And there were Oscar Getty had houses, and so did Leonard Renslow, who had different halves of Lucerne at that time. The one part that Leonard Renslow had, and I don't remember if his predecessor was on Forest Service land, So about 20, 25 years ago, was it, that area had to be raised. Where the boating club is right now, that's the housing area that I'll be talking about. And that's this house. And I'm not sure if it's the left-hand one that's still surviving down there where the boat club is or not. And right across from there was the boat dock. It used to be that the boats would come in at Lucerne, not at the current dock location. And this is the inside of the house. And a living room.
Is that your crib?
That's my crib. I was just born there. This would have been spring of 38.
You were born there?
I was born in Seattle. Oh. And then Honeymoon Heights. And this was the house we had at Honeymoon Heights.
You guys liked that design, didn't you?
That was another great design.
Very creative.
But there were people living in Honeymoon Heights until the early 50s, as I recall. And Elverine, I was trying to remember who used to live up there that late. Somebody knew who that was.
The Evans lived there afterwards. I lived in your house afterwards.
Oh, okay. Was that you, Ruthie?
Yes.
Okay.
And Bob Kingman. I lived there from about November of 42 until housing opened in Winston Camp, and maybe 2.5 years later. And I think I was probably the 7th grade then.
Yeah. Remember what year we moved out on Winston, John?
I think it was 45.
Oh, 45, I mean, Honeymoon Heights, excuse me. It must have been about 40.
I was going to say it's around 41, 40 or 41.
Yeah.
That's about wrong, because your dad was building at the same time my dad was building.
Yeah.
This is the inside of the Honeymoon Heights house. This is the dinette kitchen area looking toward the living room. This is the living room. Radio console. And
same old radio.
Yeah, same old radio. In fact, we still have that bookshelf on the wall. That's me in the snowbank and my mother on the front porch, obviously in the wintertime, the same house in Honeymoon Heights.
Good choice of signage, too.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We're starting to see you early. Let's go. Just pointing downhill, right? And this is my brother and I in front of our Winston house. And we lived in the house that was to the left of the Fields house. As you're looking at the front. And this was me, I think, this would have been April or March of 44 or 45, I don't remember which.
And that Hicks was the first house and ours is the second.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is the middle row, and we're looking at the upper side of the middle row. And this picture is looking the other direction, which basically looking toward the northeast. I don't remember whose houses these were at that
time.
That's
ours. And the one on the left is the Merrill's.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Merrill. Oh, was it the Merrill family that was up here 4 years ago, Tootie?
No, that was Henderson's.
Well, that's right.
And they were
You're
on
right.
down.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Thank you. Good memory. So this, what we're going to show now is some of the activities. This is the Boy Scout troop, obviously. And we got Claire Hicks is the first one there.
Junior.
And I don't know who the...
Dick Holt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't, couldn't remember. Rich Robertson.
Uh-huh. Dick Robertson.
Yeah, and Bob Hipshire.
Yeah.
And Jim Powell.
Yeah.
On the end.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And then Pat Sims and myself in the front row.
Where was Nigel at?
I don't know. He should have been there. I don't know where he was. Pat, my question was this gentleman here. Is that Clyde Evans?
Yes, it is Clyde.
Okay. Great.
He was the one that took us on a horseback trip up over Lyman Lake and down.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to have long-term hikes with the Boy Scouts, just like we do today, and like I did with my Boy Scout troop. And we went up to Lyman Lake, camped out overnight there. We brought a horse or a mule or a donkey.
Had a horse right here.
Was it a horse?
Yeah.
And as I remember, the first 4 days, we brought our own fresh food. And then we had dehydrated foods for the next 7 days.
Yeah, that was it.
And this was Seidel's out of Portland, who were about the first manufacturers of backwoods country dehydrated food.
Boy,
yeah, the eggs were nothing. They were terrible.
We weren't very discriminating here.
No.
What's the anybody who makes chocolate pancakes?
Well, the vehicle is International Station Wagon, I believe, wasn't it, Durant?
The Curzon's old station wagon?
I believe it's Jack. Where's Durant?
I'm back here.
Isn't that your dad's old station wagon?
It's the only one in town.
It looks to me like it was the old wood frame station wagon. This is what I'm going to put John on the spot for. This is my brother back here. Jim Sullivan was our scoutmaster at that time. And John, can you tell us who the other guys were?
Nigel on the right.
Nigel on the right.
Okay.
Robertson.
You're right.
Doug Robertson.
Was this Doug Robertson here? He looks like a Davidson, but I...
That could be Ernie. I think that is.
Is that Ernie?
Ernie Davidson.
And do you remember who... I have no clue on this fellow. And I think that was probably...
Is that another Davidson?
Excuse me?
Yes, it's not. Is that the other Davidson?
Is that Ernie Mad?
On the right.
On the right, not the very bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Ernie. Sure, it's Ernie Gavin.
Well, we were thinking this was Ernie right here.
Is that his brother Bobby?
Here? Well, maybe. I don't remember.
Looks like we're very happy doing
it. What's that? John, is that 1952? Were there both?
No, I did. How good of me.
Yeah.
Good guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it called Holden Village back then?
No.
No.
Plain Holden.
Just Holden.
Just Holden. Mm-hmm. Let's see, where am I? Oh, down here, campfire is the next one. Mary Joy will have to help me. Okay. The back row, Francis Shelby. And the girl next to it, Mary Joy, you didn't have identified.
I couldn't remember who that was.
And then we have Dolores Hicks.
Oh my gosh.
And my mother was the counselor at the time in the middle, Mary Joy, Beverly Hipshire, and Barbara Davidson and Barbara Allen. And Bonnie Bell in front, Terry Levitt, Darlene Levitt, Larissa Yates, Sandra Wickers.
Yeah.
Rayma Paulson, Janet Adams,
Janet.
And Linda.
Look at Janet.
Isn't that you?
God,
she's not here. Yeah.
This is the one we don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And I think that.
Yeah, this was in 1952.
You think who?
Barbara Davidson.
Oh, she's over here.
Oh, okay.
There's Barbara.
But it's another Barbara.
Well, Barbara Allen.
Barbara Allen's there.
Okay, how about another one?
This is fun.
How about Barbara Bush?
Mary Joy, I mean, I was more than
one cup of pie.
Would the biscuit be separate from the egg? I mean, is that a biscuit?
Is there a story to the broken arm?
Well, Mary Joy will have to answer that.
The only broken arm story was Dolores, and that's not Dolores with the cow.
No.
I don't think that. I don't know that.
She just borrowed that sign.
But see, we had to cover the floor with canvas before we walked on it. We did not walk on the floor. In the village center.
Oh, that was taboo. I remember a couple of us kids. We'd go down here and they'd have the canvas all rolled out, chairs all set up for movies. We had movies Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night, right? So John, Pat, and I would go down there and we'd roll up the canvas and start playing basketball. Until
Johnny Carr.
Until we got caught.
Of course, you can't hide the noise of a basketball.
How come we always got caught?
But we always got caught. And summarily got thrown out. But anyway. This is 4th of July, and Mike Defoe on the left. Who's in the middle? I don't recognize the rest of them. But I assume that must be the 4th of July picnic. Mm-hmm.
Might explain that, Bill, as far as what went on here 4th of July or Labor Day.
Yeah. Well, 4th of July, the company put on the activities, and a lot of it were there's adult activities and children's activities, three-legged races, dash races. Some of the men had races themselves, potato sack races,
prizes
of dimes and quarters and nickels.
Pie-eating contest.
Pie-eating contest. There was a saw bucking contest.
Three-legged race.
Nail-driving.
Fishing ball.
Yeah. The games went on all morning. They probably started around 9 o'clock, and the whole town turned out at the ballpark. And that would culminate in a big lunch around 1 o'clock or so after all the games. And then we would get down to the nitty-gritty and have a softball game of two of the men's teams, and the whole town would sit there and cheer one team versus another. It was really an old-fashioned 4th of July out of the old days, in terms of the way that...
And Cod Evans had a reputation for being the best on that part.
Was it?
Yes. Ben Stevens. Yeah.
But in life, was a good politician.
Right. And Labor Day was similar activities, and it was put on by the union.
Mm-hmm. And you had the
Mucker's
Ball in the evening.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did the mine
I remember one of the races too was chasing after chickens. I remember catching a rooster, but then we had to take care of the rooster in the fall because they survived the
poor service.
Poor rooster.
Did the mine
there was a picnic area above the ballpark.
I'm sorry?
Did the mine close on those days? I thought it only closed on Christmas. Was someone working the mine on 4th of July and the day?
Oh, Gil, do you remember?
What was that?
The question was on holidays, Labor Day and 4th of July, was the mine still running? Did we still have a full shift underground?
Part of it was just maintenance.
Yeah.
Just maintenance?
Just maintenance.
It's sort of a skeleton
crew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you have firecrackers?
No.
No.
Not up here. It's just here.
Absolutely.
We basically observed a lot of the same rules that you do now because the extreme fire hazard up there.
How many people were in the village?
The maximum was 600.
Okay. Including the surrounding areas, Winston and Holden.
Well, Holden was the whole area. Okay. So that would encompass down here all the dormitories where the single miners lived. And this was one of them right here, even. Mm-hmm. And Winston and Honeymoon Heights. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the crowd. This is up beyond the ballpark, by the way. Now I think it's a campground. We called it the picnic area at that time.
Where is it?
Up beyond the ballpark.
Before you start up to Hart Lane.
Yeah, about a quarter mile on out, maybe a 30 yard beyond the ballpark.
What we call the ballpark, some of you call the net.
And this is the pie eating contest right here. I don't recognize all the faces. One of the other programs that the community put on was a very extensive Christmas program. And this involved actually the entire community, and in particular the school. And we had school children's chorus. We sang a lot of the traditional Christmas songs. All of the grades in the school participated in the program. I'll show a picture of the crowd that was here, but the entire town came out for this, and there were presents then for all the children in the town as well.
When was the floor allowed to be uncovered?
This Johnny Akers right here helping to pass out the presents, and I don't recognize any of the other people.
Carol,
anybody?
When did you take up the canvas on the floor? For what occasion?
Oh, when during the winter time, the us kids in the school go over there and play basketball, so the canvas was rolled up generally most every afternoon.
But we had to wear gym shoes.
But we had to wear gym shoes. No regular shoes were allowed on the floor.
They didn't dance.
They danced, and I don't have the pictures of it here, but the New Year's Eve Muckers Ball, the canvas was rolled up, and they did have the dances. There was a square dancing group here with the adults, and they're square dancing in that floor as well.
There is a book up in the museum, although I didn't see it out today. One of the ladies, a couple that lived up here, she has some pictures and some of the programs from the various Muckers Balls, the New Year's, and she's got pictures in there. The book is from Edith and Ed Brewer. If you're up in the museum sometime, you might see if you can find it. It also has some invitations for some of the New Year's parties that Patty had and was talking about that they had to the different houses. She had a scrapbook of all this stuff, and so she gave it to me, and we put it together in a book that's in protected. She covers in that. So there's, if you want to see what one of the Muckers Ball looks like, there are some pictures up there.
I was going to say at New Year's, Muckers Ball was one of the big ones, but at New Year's, the girls, the women, the girls, all dressed up in the good formals, and then we put on our high, high boots and threw our formals up over our shoulders and tracked down. We get all the houses in between that were a little libation, but...
And there's our children's chorus singing Christmas songs, and you can see the presents and the tree. And we had a special low stage platform on the floor, not on the regular stage, set up for this. And that's the crowd. And you see the whole town is here, basically. Every chair and up in the balcony, we've all filled up for these kinds of programs. And I think that's Santa Claus. I got it this time. You got it.
Honoring the crowd. But you'll also notice the men had ties and coats on, and it's kind of interesting for a mining town that you saw that in other pictures, that when you had parties, men and the women would dress up in their best and go out trudging in the snow because there's no cars, and walk to these parties and so on. But everybody always dressed up.
And one of the things we did, Mrs. Field roped us all in together, and most of the school children would be participating in at least one operetta, generally in the springtime. I think this is your good Frog Prince, isn't it, John?
Unfortunately, yeah.
You can thank Mary Joy. She helped me a lot.
This was my pleasure.
Thank you. Harriet Wilbur would really appreciate this. She kept having to change the key on the piano, the key with the key in my voice.
Well, besides you, I think I recognize Denny Mickens, don't I?
That's Beverly Hipcher.
Beverly Hipcher on the left?
I think she's in the middle.
Or in the middle. Who's on the left?
Janet Atkins.
Oh, okay.
What was the operetta?
The Frog Prince.
Oh, the Frog Prince.
The Frog Prince.
Oh, that's pretty important. Oh, that's pretty important. Eddie Haddon, who is one of the speakers, and Val Ketchum.
One comment I'd like to make, Nigel Adams is a fellow all of us knew quite well, and you may see his name up here. But he helped organize a lot of most of our Holden Minor reunions, and he wrote the book, Pre-Production Years of Holden, which some of you may have seen. But he passed away from cancer in 1990. But he was one of the main instigators on getting us together. And class of 53, and Mrs. Field on the left. And John, you were going to help us with the names here, right?
Why am I?
Class 53,
yes. Same old.
That's Mary Joy there.
Yeah,
same one. You're right. I got confused. I'm easily confused. Here's 54. So, I assume Rayma Paulson and Bonnie Bell. And who's next?
Robert, it looks like.
No. Then Don Carver. Well, this one is different because that is also Lucerne. There were eight of us in that class from Holden, and I believe six from Lucerne, and this is the first year that they did a joint graduation between the Lucerne and Holden schools.
So, is this eighth grade?
That completes the pictures. What I hope, and I'll make another plea, because a number of the people here have already given me their photos, but I sure want to get the word around, because what I really want to do is get a picture of every house of Winston. And I think it's still doable, so I hope people pass the word around. I still want to be able to put together an album to put up into the museum. Continue this project.
Does anybody remember the evangelist that came up and gave us the Sunday school?
Yeah.
One summer? Yes.
So I don't remember his name, but I remember we did that.
Oh, W. Elder. Yeah, and we had to memorize the whole Bible, and we had to wrap bandages and roll bandages.
The next thing I'm going to show is a video, and this is home video. I want to apologize in advance for the quality of some of the pictures, because some of it dates back to 1941, and some of the film isn't in very good shape. The first sequence you'll see was taken by Jim LaFrenz, which will be in the 50s, early 50s, I believe. And then I'm going to show my dad's pictures, which start in 1941. And it's this very small sequence. Like I say, some of the film is so old that we're having trouble getting it into video. But we'll do the best we can, and I'll try to narrate as best as I can. We're trying this for the first time. I thought I had that erased. That's like a little thing.
Wow.
Here you'll see the snow moving, and you'll see the cat come out from the
Double Peter, this direction.
Yeah, this is right down that bottom corner, right across from the car bridge. This is a little friend's house down on the bottom row.
That's Roger's on the left.
Roger's on the left. Yeah. Oh. He's inside the little friend's home.
There's Jim.
That's Jim.
And Patsy.
Okay. I think it is a little fast.
If you push play twice.
No, this is a little friend. Going down to Sunday school.
Oh, Easter.
It looks like Easter.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
So we did have our church services in the Red Hall. Yeah, thank you. No. Go ahead.
Jim fell off the roof one day
he was up there to clean the snow off, and he fell head first. And Mom just happened to look out the window and see him. He might still be there. Went out, dug him out, pulled him out.
I don't remember which opera or operetta this is.
Well, Pat, aren't you?
Pat, is this one that you were in?
Oh, yeah.
We had a Dutch
thing. Yeah,
we did remember good one. Yeah.
And Bennett, Judy Bennett was your particular.
But there wasn't any green vegetables, so I don't think the opera.
Whatever you
that boy, wasn't it?
You remember Florence?
And Bruce.
And Wyatt and Trainers, they're all down in there.
Yeah, we're next to, yeah, that's right.
Yes, looking up to the top of Martin Ridge. Still taken from Honeymoon Heights.
That's my
Is that you?
That's John.
You. Yeah.
Hey, John, you got a good comment. And that's the rock pile up at Honeymoon Heights. It's obscured, but this is the house that we lived in at Honeymoon Heights.
It looks like the one at the ballpark.
Yeah. Similar. There we are. This was the party, and I don't remember what the party is. It's one of the houses up in Honeymoon Heights.
It's Mary Bird. Was it yours, the Mary J.
It's Carruthers there.
Yeah. This is in the kitchen area in our Honeymoon Heights home. The living room. Unfortunately, Dad didn't have a light strobe, so it was just all available light. Trout. I don't know if it was ever successful, and Lassie supposedly chased them the bear.
And the whole town turned out to watch this. The whole town.
This was a big event. I don't remember what year this was. I don't remember. I don't remember. Only 142. Was it Railroad Creek? It was in Railroad Creek. Does anybody remember exactly where on Railroad Creek it was?
Yeah.
By the bridge.
It was in 42.
The old bridge.
It was later because we were living in Chelan and I was delivering this Folsom Review paper and Elizabeth Taylor was at Campbell. And was going to get on the boat to come up the lake. And she came out and I was just overwhelmed with her beauty. She had a velvet coat on.
Spring of 1946. I was in eighth grade. And Elizabeth Taylor is 6 months older than I am. She gave me an apple I never autographed.
Wow. Who said that?
Bruce Evans.
So how old does that make Elizabeth Taylor at this time?
They went up there to do, I'm not sure what all they were trying to do, but anyway, that's what they did. Tried to ski in. That's the cabin up in Ruben Creek. I don't know if the cabin is even surviving on it.
Was it in the basin above or is it down the valley?
I don't know for sure. You know, I was never up in there. I don't know if you were, John. Were you ever up in Ruben Creek? No, but I don't think the cabin's there any longer. What the nice, interesting sequence is here is that they're skiing out,